Time to believe. Time to believe in you. Time to believe in others. And time to believe, today's title, in God's plan for you. You know, God has a plan for you, you know that. Amen. And the main point today, did everyone get the notes this morning? Yeah. Matt, can you bring me one so I know what is going on the notes, and I can make sure I know what to tell you to fill underlines and stuff. Thank you, Matt. The main point we want to get across today is that God wants you to do great things within His perfect plan for you. Do you know that? You know, when we talked about the first week of this series about believing in you, it was just about reading God's Word and seeing, thank you, Matt, and seeing that in God's Word it's very clear that God believes in you. God believes that He's going to do amazing things in you. He created you, right? And the second part of that was you believing in others, and really that was about you being great. Because when you believe in others, and when you love others, and you care for others, you're great in this kingdom. But today it's about believing in His actual plan for you. So it's one thing to believe in yourself. It's another thing to be caring and loving others and believe in others. It's another thing to actually believe in the plan that God has for you. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Time to believe. Reminder to write a thought down, and now that you have notes, you can write on your notes and pray about these things. And God speaks to you through these words. Start with this scripture. Let's start with 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of the servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was in Gath-Hepher. Jonah, we know Jonah, right? We don't really know him for this story. We know him for the other story. But we all know Jonah. And in the King Jeroboam's reign, during King Jeroboam's reign, Jonah prophesied, and that's your first underline on your notes. Jonah prophesied, and he spoke the word of the Lord, and Israel regained that coastland that they lost. So Jonah was instrumental, a prophet of God, and he told the king, you know, it's time, do this, do that, and God's with you, don't worry about it, you'll win. And they did it, and they regained the coast of Israel. And so Jonah really, really enjoyed that. He loved his job so much. I'm the prophet. I get to speak on behalf of God. And Jonah was a prophet of God. He was quite confident and comfortable prophesying the word of the Lord for the kings of Israel. As we read in this scripture, he was a big part of this. At this point in Jonah's life, all was going well, beautiful. Jonah's plans and God's plans were lining up really nice. Just, have you ever been there? Well, they're awesome. But one day, God's plan and Jonah's plan no longer seemed to line up quite nicely. God had a different plan. One day he told Jonah to do something, and Jonah really loved the comforts of home. He really loved sitting in his own couch and putting his feet up. But God wanted to see sinners transform. I mean, Jonah loved his job, going to the king and Lord says such and such. And man, that was an awesome job. But God had a different plan for him, and it was to go and speak to sinners that needed to be transformed. God's plan and Jonah's plan no longer lined up. So the second underline, God wanted to see sinners That's the underline. Sinners transformed. So we know the story of Jonah. Let's read it in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. We know the story. Let's read. Now that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up and basically said, no way. And he fled. He went to Tarshish. And he went down. Oh, he went to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down and he tried to go away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares and the ship and the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down unto the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmasters came to him and said unto him, what meanest, why are you sleeping? Arise and call upon thy God and pray that God will think upon us, that we won't die here. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know who one of us is evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and when comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then there were men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth unto the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great trouble has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay upon us innocent blood. For, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow upon Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. Interesting story. As I read it, I was like, wow, I didn't catch that the last time. But you notice that those people on the ship were like, why, Jonah, he's the prophet of God. And they're like, so why aren't you listening to your God? And they're like, what's going on? I'm sure that made them think a little bit. But they didn't understand. I mean, if your God's so awesome and great and powerful, why aren't you listening to him? Good question. Right? So Jonah is running away from God, from God's plan for him. Why do good people run away from God's plan? Why do good people run away from God's plan? It can be scary. It can be stressful. Let's read further. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, we read, and the Lord spake to the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. See, Jonah finally got to the point where he cried out to God and said, okay, I give in. And then so we know what happens. God delivers him out. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, we read this. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. I'm preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went out unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, when he finally said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do now? The plan didn't change. It was the same plan. Go to Nineveh, because I have a plan for these people. And Jonah didn't like that. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, we read, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Nineveh, Jonah repents. So that's misprinted. Jonah repents, and that was a wise move. God changes plan, and Jonah also changes plan, and that was wise. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 4 through 11, we read this. Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So after the people repent and God forgives them, then said the Lord, Jonah went out to the city and to the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah that he might be in the shadow. So he had some shade over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. But God prepared a worm in the morning and rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. And he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "If it be better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then saith the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up at night and perished at night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than 80,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So here's a lesson learned. The lesson learned is this. Well, first, the next underline in you have there is God cares for sinners like Jonah cared for the gourd. That's G-O-U-R-D. So the lesson learned here was Jonah was, so this gourd protected him and gave him comfort, and he grieved when the gourd died. And God is saying, you're worried about this gourd and shade. I am worried about these thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the city of Nineveh that I created. And so he was trying to get Jonah to see how important sinners are to God. Because it's clear in God's word in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 that it is not God's will that any should perish. So you see, there was two different plans. Jonah had one and God had one. Everything was going real nice until Jonah was thrown out of his comfort zone. So here's the challenge for you and for me and for us. It is time to believe in God's plan and let go of our plan. Right? You know, you want to summarize the whole day. There it is. This is what God wants us to hear, I think. I know, because I know that God's preparing us for something bigger than ourselves. But it's not going to happen if we're not willing to let go of our plan and follow His plan. Our plan is a very comfortable plan. Nobody plans for themselves to be at stress, right? Nobody plans, "Yeah, I'm going to make sure I go through all this trouble, and I'm going to make sure because I want to grow real strong in the Lord." Nobody thinks that way. But we all know that that's how it actually works, right? You don't grow unless you're going through it, and you see God in it, and you see how good God is through it, and then you grow and you grow and you grow. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, turn there. Many of you know this scripture because Eloi repeats it so much. It's his favorite scripture. And it's a good one too. Very good one. It's time to believe in God's plan for you. Don't try to convince God your plan is better than His plan for your life. You may not want to admit this, but we're always trying to convince God to do it our way. But don't try. You know what will happen? You'll end up in the belly of the well, which basically is you'll end up in trouble. Right? When you start doing it your own way, you'll end up in trouble because your ways are not God's ways. You know, I came up with this quote a long time ago, and I like it because it's good. It helps me. Not every good idea is God's idea. not every good idea is God's idea. Not every good plan you have is actually God's plan. Right? It's true. But you have to be real honest with your own heart to be able to distinguish the two. And here's the challenge for us Christians. And those of you who have ears to hear, hear. Some of you might not understand this. I get it, but try to get it in your spirit. You have to be real honest with yourself to be able to discern what God's plan is versus your plan. You got to put yourself in positions. Like this morning, you know, you feel God's presence. You know, we don't plan the worship services, or you know, they just kind of go, and God's presence comes, and sometimes more, and others sometimes less. But putting yourself in positions when you can be in God's presence, you just see things a little more clearly in that moment. You know what I'm talking about? You can just see things a little more clearly. Maybe if you respond to the altar, or you're feeling God's presence where you are in your chair, but just a little clearer that moment, and maybe revelation and clear vision comes to you, and then you start, God's plan starts becoming more and more real to you and evident to you. So it's time. Don't try to convince God to follow your plan. Jeremiah, what does the Bible say about this? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 is very clear. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Who has plans for you? The Lord has plans for you. And they're good plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. It's a good word. That's why Eloy quotes it all the time. It's awesome. It is so true. He has a good plan for you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." The Bible says he predestined you. The plan has been set. He knows what he wants for you. He knows the great plan he has for you. He believes in you. And it's there. But as Christians, our challenge is to find that plan. To find it. And you're not going to find it by allowing your carnal, sinful mind make all the plans. You're going to find it when you say, "Lord, I surrender. I'm willing to go your plan." And when you hear for the first time when he says, "I want you now to speak," or "I want you now to be the Sunday school leader," or this, or but when he begins to speak and you're like, I'm not comfortable with that, Lord. You didn't hear me clearly. I want us to be together in the plan. There's no meeting to be had. There's no negotiating in the plan. God's calling is without repentance, right? There is not. But are you willing? Jonah wasn't. Jonah was not willing to say, "Yes, I'll use my gifts and talents to feed those kids or to youth leaders or worship leaders," because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of front lines and a lot of attack from the enemy. It's a lot of stuff. I'm not going to tell you it's pretty and it's awesome all the time, but it is kind of awesome to see God's power work through you. It is awesome. But Jonah didn't want to be uncomfortable. He wanted God to do it his way. He wanted to sit at the king's palace, and the king said, "Jonah, you got a word for me?" And yes, he does. "Great feast, so I got a word for you, king. And here, do this, do that, says the Lord." He loved it. But being able to follow God's plan and recognize it and know the difference between yours and his, it takes a humble heart, a selfless heart, and a heart willing to serve. And if you're going to be in great in God's kingdom, you learn to put your own feelings aside. You're having a bad day, you still got to smile and you still got to say God's good. Amen? Because we're soldiers, right? Soldiers, they're in battle and they're hurting, but they're saying, "Yes, sir, let's go. The mission needs to be accomplished." He predestined it all. There's no need to fight it. He predestined it all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. His plan is so much better anyway. He's got great things planned for those who trust him, for those who love him. Don't try to hold on to your own plans. I mean, I know you love your plan. You spend so much time charting your life out. This is how it's all going to work. And God may very well be, you do what you think is the right thing to do. But when God starts speaking clearly to change the plan or to do something else or to do something for him, like he told Jonah, don't run away. You will end up in trouble. You will end up in the belly of the whale. And we don't want that. It's time to believe in God's plan, not our own plans. Isaiah 55 verse 8. If you turn to Isaiah 55 verse 8. Isaiah 55 verse 8. God's word says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are they my ways, saith the Lord." That's pretty clear, isn't it? The Bible is very, very clear that God's ways are better than our ways. So it will be easier to accept this plan and roll and just roll with it. Just go with it. I did not plan to be a pastor. That wasn't my plan. But God put me in a position to be one, and I plan to trust him with it because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to end up in the belly of the whale in trouble. But that's not the only reason. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll step out of the boat and do it. One thing I've learned and is that that's so true and that I have found, there's great joy and peace along the way when you're in his perfect plan. And I see God doing great things, and I see great people rising up and growing in the Lord, and it's just all worth it. It's all worth it. Watching our church, little by little, God put things together, and our worship and our youth and the leadership we have, and a Spanish Bible study that started, and there's people laboring to get that done, and it's just awesome to see God moving little by little. So I wouldn't change anything for the world. It wasn't my plan, but God's good, and there's peace and there's joy in the journey. It doesn't mean that everything goes perfect and I don't have trouble, but it's definitely worth it all. It's worth it all. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, I'm reading these scriptures so you can see that God has it all worked out, and he's telling us very, very clearly, you don't know what you're doing. That's probably a clearer way to say it. You do not know what you're doing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. If you knew what you were doing, he would say, lean on your understanding. But we don't. And I mean it in a sense that we don't know what we're doing as it pertains to God's big picture plan for our life. I don't mean you don't know what you're doing every day. Don't get insulted. Take it personal. We don't know what we're doing when it comes to this big plan. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Who's going to direct your path? God's going to direct your path. Accept his plan. Trust in God's plan, not in your own understanding. He will direct your path. He will direct your path. It is a promise from God's word. But you have to be listening, right? When he speaks to you, you got to write a thought down. You got to be intentional and humble and willing to serve. The last scripture, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Do you know that if you just stick to your plan, and every time God tries to nudge you to do his thing, and you kind of just ignore it like Jonah did, or just keep going, do you know that you're missing out on the exceedingly beyond what you can imagine and think? See, what the enemy wants us to do, once we're saved, he's lost that battle, we're saved. We believe in God as our Savior, and we live for him, and we believe in his blood cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He's lost that battle. His second fight is to try to keep you to be ineffective. His second fight is to try to keep you to be just, okay, say to yourself, don't shine that light. Just stay in the corner. Don't be impactful. But when you're in God's plan, you're going to shine a light, and you're going to be impactful, because that's what God does. So, there is so much there. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible tells us that he wants to do abundantly above all and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. Will be the extent. He'll do amazing things in our lives. So, out of this sermon today, I hope above all you get the concept of this. There's your plan and there's God's plan. Sometimes they line up and sometimes they don't. Just like we saw with Jonah. It is your responsibility as Christians to go figure that out. Right? Even I don't know. I mean, you can ask me for my advice, and I'll tell you what I think. But at the end of the day, you got to figure it out. You got to get on your knees. You got to be in positions where his presence is. Like, sometimes when you feel God's presence, and the altar is always open, and it doesn't mean that you can't hear from God where you're sitting either. But sometimes just taking these steps and say, okay, let me put myself in a position where I can hear from God and get clear direction from God. You should do it. You should take advantage of it and move in that. But that's what I want you to get out of today is believe. It's time to believe in his plan for you. And your challenge is to take that and go figure it out through prayer. Going back to what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. What begins to happen? What kind of actions do men and women of God that are great for God, that are great in his kingdom, what kind of actions do they begin to take? They pray and they read. They put themselves in position to hear from God. They are faithful in giving. They're faithful in their attendance in church. They're faithful. You're just in action. And you put yourself in positions and you serve and you love others. And that's how you begin to hear from God. That's how you begin to hear from God. And sometimes people stop going to church or stop being faithful or stop doing these things, reading their Bible and praying, because to be honest, they don't want to hear from God. Because they're like Jonah. They want to stay in their own little world and in their own little plan. I figured it out already. It's no fun there. I want God to do exceedingly above all I can even imagine or think. Right? We want to see God do amazing things. We want to see salvations and deliverances. And we want to see God move. And we want no man, no person, man or woman, to get the glory. We want everything that's happening where people are being transformed and changed, that is not because of pastor or because of the worship leader or because of this or because of that. It's because all of us together are pointing people to Jesus, who is the one true hope, who is the only answer. In conclusion, surrender and trust. The last underline, surrender and trust God's plan for your life. Don't ask God to surrender to your plans or to rubber stamp your plan. Lord, what do you think about this? Rubber stamp it. Don't get in God's way. Your plans do not lead to greatness. God's plans do. And let me tell you, you can't convince God. You know, God loves His plan for you, right? He loves His plan for you. It's awesome. It's great. He loves it. Remember, He planned the creation of the universe, the Big Bang, right? Once Adam and Eve sinned, He planned the plan of salvation and the Son, and He loved the world. He sent His only Son. In Revelations, we hear about a plan of the church ruling and reigning with Christ, which hasn't happened yet, but He loves that plan too. And He's not going to change the book of Revelations because we have a different plan. You kind of get the idea, right? He loves His plan for you, for the world. It's time for us to just accept it and walk in the plan. Amen? Walk in the plan. So the Creator of all the universe created you with purpose, and He has a specific plan for you. God wants you to be great within His perfect plan for you. It's time to believe in God's plan for you. Find it and you will find joy, peace. It's awesome. It's awesome. So here, that's just your challenge. Just go find it. Go find it. Is this me? Is this God? Let me go pray. Let me go see. Let me see. Maybe you'll hear a song on the radio and like, yeah, that's confirmation that God wants me to do that. Start walking in the Spirit and listen to His plan. Put yourself, get that Christian music in you in your car. Get rid of garbage that tells you that your boyfriend broke up with you, and you know, because you're not going to hear the plan there, probably. You're going to hear the plan. Put yourself in positions to hear God's voice. And it's awesome. It's awesome. And I know you guys have a heart for God and you love God, but we're human beings, right? We roll with the punches and we like to be comfortable. But God's a good God. He'll take care of it, even when you're a little uncomfortable. Every story you read here, the great men and women of God were in uncomfortable situations, like jail or prison or between the Egyptian army and the sea. You know, over and over you hear about people being uncomfortable, but what happened in these stories? They believed, right? Moses, and they believed, and God did signs and wonders. And you'll see signs and wonders too. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we hear from You, Lord. We want to be in Your perfect plan. We want to believe today. We know it's time to believe in ourselves, that we're great. It's time to believe in others, that we want to serve them and love them because You love them. Even our enemies, You've told us to love them. Lord, it's time to just believe in Your plan for us. It's time to believe in all the wonderful things that we know are true, but yet we walk as if things are dead. It's time to believe that Your Spirit will speak to us and confirm to us what Your plan is. We may not hear an audible voice, but we know in our spirits when You begin to confirm things through others or through words or through song. Lord, help us to be attentive. We don't want to be doing our own thing. We want to be in Your perfect plan. And we choose to believe. We choose to believe. Great things are ahead for families. Breakthroughs are ahead for families. Breakthroughs are ahead. Financially, breakthroughs are ahead. Relationships, breakthroughs are ahead. Salvations, breakthroughs are ahead. We're just going to believe. We choose to believe. We know in our hearts that You're a good God, and that You have a good plan for us. And for those of us that may struggle in giving up on our ways and acknowledging Your ways, humble our hearts, Lord. We want to be in Your perfect will. You are our shepherd. What else do we need? You're our guide. What else do we need? It's time to believe. It's time to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. So go home and follow His plan. Go find it. Go find it. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue the series on It's Time to Believe. There's a few other things that it's time to believe for. And we're going to cover it in the next few weeks. But just take it with you and pray about it. Take your notes with you and pray about it throughout the week. And let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. Praise the Lord. Albert, will you honor us and just dismiss us?